The following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. Attacks by the undead have been reported in several states across the country. They include Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Ohio, and Texas. The dead are rising from their graves and are attacking the human race. At this time, it is expected that more attacks of this nature will occur in several other states in the next few hours. The intent behind their attack is unknown at this time. It has been observed that a bodily exchange of fluids is a method of transmission. If any of these things occur to you, you will turn into one of these creatures. This is an extremely dangerous situation if they crave the taste of human flesh. To protect yourself from potential effects, all residents of the United States are strongly encouraged to follow these instructions. Stay away from these creatures. Get inside a building with few doors and windows. Do not make eye contact with them. Doing this will incite attack. Seek shelter in a room above or below ground, preferably one that is blocked by several doors. Do not use any electrical devices, as this may attract them. Make sure that you take food and water with you to your place of refuge. It is not known whether this event will last for hours, days, or even longer. Stay calm, as authorities have been dispatched to deal with these creatures. An all-clear siren will be sounded when this situation is under control.
You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and it's Saturday the 14th of March 2020 here in Sydney, Australia. Very rainy and cold, unbelievable. Great to be plugged in with you tonight, and thanks so much to the listeners out there for your continuing support. Helps me just keep rolling here and keep the website up and going. Hope you're enjoying the podcast, and always got lots to go through, that's for sure. So we are strapped in and ready to rock and roll. So more insanity taking place all everywhere I look. It's just absolutely crazy. I didn't even want to get a roll of toilet paper in my own house today. I thought the toilet paper zombies were going to come crashing through the windows and the doors and, you know, bust everything down and attack me. Toilet paper, toilet paper, 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 you know? Just a crazy situation going on, and still following this. We have to, really, don't we? Because this could be what changes everything in regards to our personal liberties and health freedoms and, you know, what kind of future we're going to be living in and our children are going to be living in. That's what we need to be worried about, not toilet paper and fake viruses. We need to be worrying about what's happening behind the curtain as the play takes center stage and everyone gets entertained by the play and watches it and claps, you know, something's going on behind the curtains and something's been built around all of this and we're not looking at it. We're focusing too much on this virus outbreak, which is completely fake and is just incredible. And had a friend text me this morning, you know, around 7:30, just saying that he was at the shops and people are kind of spooked and panicked and they're buying toilet paper still. You know, the main shopping centers are all running out of this toilet paper and they're just savage trying to get the paper, you know, and unbelievable. And, you know, just speaking to people around, a few people just thinking they might have this. And I'm telling them, you're fine, you don't have anything, and I better get tested, I'm not sure. You know, so if anyone kind of just feels slightly unwell or sniffles or has a cough or anything, you know, they think they've got the coronavirus. So I'm going to rename tonight the coronavirus. I'm just going to take that off the table and I'm going to call it the fear. So it's the fear, and the fear is spreading. You know, the fear is saturating. The fear is coming after you. The fear will get inside you, it'll get under your skin, it'll get into your blood, it will infect you. The fear will drag you under and drown you slowly. The fear will come after you in your nightmares. It will stalk you throughout your days and nights. It will hunt you down. It eventually will get you. You will succumb to the fear. So let's just take the virus off the table right now on this podcast and let's replace it with the fear. That's what it is, the fear. So unbelievable what I am seeing. And so, you know, I'm looking around online and just following everything, looking at what's going on. I just pulled up an article right now from one of the mainstream media outlets in Australia, and it's like the shopping centres who do home deliveries with people shopping. So they, I guess here in this situation, they've delivered it outside the house. You've got these thieves stealing maybe their toilet paper as well. I don't know. It's absolutely insane. We're hearing that New Zealand is announcing tough new border restrictions and all of this today, and also in the United States, more restrictions coming down and more draconian measures taking place. And in Sydney, Australia, they've cancelled, from what I know, the Royal Easter Show. And the Royal Easter Show is incredible in Sydney. I don't go. People, it's like a religion for people who live in Sydney. People come from all over the country and all over the world to the Royal Easter Show and to buy the show bags and have this 2 weeks there. And, you know, it's a massive event, so they've cancelled that. They've cancelled the, you know, the motor car racing and just sporting events. All this social distancing laws coming into effect, the government kind of making these sort of vague threats now and all of this. So we're getting a lot of different things coming into play as everybody gets more paranoid about the fear, as the fear, as I said, spreads, as it grows, as it takes over people's minds, as it thinks for them. It's really incredible. And these people out there panicking today at the malls grabbing toilet paper, they're not thinking clearly. They're just simply reacting. Their brains have been molded and pre-shaped by the mainstream media and the governments. So the government and the mainstream media have instilled all this fear into these people's minds. These people have not come to their own conclusions. They have not made up their own minds. They they have been told, they have been preconditioned to react in such a way. And so that's how they're reacting. And they're going out and they're panicking. They're not thinking, hang on, I'm a fucking idiot. When all this settles down and I've lost all my rights and I'm getting forced vaccinations and we live in a much different country, you know, and our civil liberties are all getting wiped away and all of this, gee, look at how I reacted back to the fake coronavirus. What a tool I am. So that's what these people are. They're just tools. They're just useful idiots clogging up the malls and the shops and the streets and everything, panicking, buying toilet paper, and all they need is just red noses to complete their stupid acts, because they're just stupid, ridiculous clowns. That's all they are. I went shopping the other day. I just got some groceries for the week. I grabbed some toilet paper and a couple of things. It was pretty easy. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You don't need to be acting like this. But it shows you the fear, not the virus, the fear, how it infects people, how it infects their lives, and how it kind of, how they act out through fear itself. It's absolutely phenomenal. You can turn on the television, look at the newspapers any day, and it's just fear peddling. That's what they're doing, just pumping fear out. And this is reflected in society itself to the whole. Not us, not the listeners here, but sitting back and watching this is absolutely astonishing. I just shake my head in disbelief. We're getting a lot of problems around. I have heard from people who have been sent home from work. We're having a lot of businesses and things like that closing. We've got a lot of unease in the general public and workforce. I've been speaking to people who said, they work for companies that are overseas owned or whatever, and they're getting rid of people and people are going home and everything like that. So there's a lot of people don't know if they're going to have a job soon. It's getting crazy like that. So I don't know. It's Saturday night here in Sydney, so I can only just, everything seems to be running and functioning okay around me, but we'll just keep watching this and see what happens. But there's just so much confusion being pumped out of the media. That's the one thing that people all, I think, should be able to agree on. The confusion they're pumping out all the time is just incredible. Because you're hearing all these so-called experts up there all the time, and they're telling you that it's the worst thing ever. And then they're telling you, well, you really have to be quite old and frail and have some health problems, maybe, because it's a respiratory thing, and really to worry. So, if you're over 75 and in your 80s and you have some health conditions, especially respiratory conditions or anything like that, then, you need to worry, because you could go down. Children don't need to worry, and everyone else don't need to worry. And if you do get this, you won't even know that you've got it. If you do get it and you know that you've got it, it's really nothing more than a mild flu. And then you turn on another station and they're telling you that we're all going to be infected. One in five of us is going to be infected, and it's going to be the worst thing you've ever had, and you're going to die. As I played the clips the other week, they're playing the Walking Dead theme over the top of it, and they've got these reports, and everyone's wearing masks, and it's like this horror movie. And then you read all this other stuff and there's nothing really to be concerned about. It's no worse than any flu that people would get in any given year. So if it's no worse than any normal flu in any given year, why all the lockdowns? What are they preparing for? Why are they locking everything down like this? It just seems like one massive drill to me. Or, it's like a control mechanism. It seems like almost they're testing to see how the system reacts, how the healthcare system reacts, how people react, how much supplies we have, how quickly it fails, and all of this. It's just a really crazy thing, but what I this I'm still looking at. But at the end of the day, what I do know is that things are going to change in regards to our health. at the end of the day. After this, we're going to be living in a much more stricter system, around health. And I think it's all for me. I can't get off the subject. I think it really seems to be about vaccinations. I'm getting pamphlets in the mail. There's vaccination ads on TV. There's campaigns every time I turn around. That's what I said on the last show. I feel like I'm going to sit on a needle. Every time I turn around, there's a bloody flu jab being shoved in my face. They don't stop going on about it. Everyone I've spoken to, I even spoke to my father not long ago on email, and he said they're just pushing the flu jab where he lives as well. Flu jab, flu jab. That's what I said. It's coming out of the drains like some kind of drum. Flu jab, flu jab. Get your flu jab. You're going to get the flu. It's really insane. So that's what it all seems about for me. Anyway, I think that around that, if we were sent to things around that, that's all definitely going to come into play. Absolutely. I don't want their flu jabs. I don't want their vaccines. My child doesn't have them, never will. I don't want them anywhere near me. I will jump out of a 10-story window to keep that shit out of my body and my child's body. I will fight to the death to keep that shit out of my system. I don't want it. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. That's what I want these people to do. But they're going to have more reach into your life. They're going to have more reach into everything that you do after this, because that's what it's all about. Absolutely 100%. I can see that coming. And we've been through it over and over again. Travel is going to be so different after this. You watch all this settle and fall into perfect place after this fake drill that's going on. That's what it is. Unbelievable, but we can just go through the latest, see what I'm seeing, go through it, talk about it, have a look, because I pick up a lot of articles. I mean, I got probably about 10 or 15 articles just from today, so always a lot to cover and go over for sure. One thing that interests me as well that I'm seeing in the alternative media, if that's what you want to call it, places like Natural News, is that I just picked up this story today and they're saying, yes, the coronavirus is airborne. And so they're pushing all of this as well. There's a lot of people saying that this is some kind of pathogen, some kind of manufactured illness that has been released into the environment, into the air, and we're breathing it in and we're coughing it and we're spreading it. And I look at some of these big alternative media outlets like Natural News and Mike Adams and everything, and I think, you know what, these guys are no different than the mainstream media. You know, the mainstream media are pushing the coronavirus thing, and these guys are pushing the coronavirus thing plus the airborne thing or something else, and we're all going to die and we're all going to get it. So it's all doom and gloom out of these places as well. But in my opinion, there is no virus. So if there is no virus, how can it be airborne? So Mike Adams, the health ranger, is explaining all this about the COVID-19 and how the globalists, as Alex Jones always says, the globalists, but they never mention the Jews, do they? Ever. It's always the globalists, and it's always everybody else but Israel and these Jewish mongrels in control. All through the WHO and CDC and all of this stuff. And I guess our mighty Israel friends over there are going to come up with their new vaccines as well. They run all the technology, so they're going to run all the vaccines as well, but they're definitely going to come up with the magic vaccine for us all, so it will save us all, won't it? But these guys never mention any of this. And I look at this, and there's Grim Reapers, and there's agendas and all of this stuff. So they're giving you truths about what's coming, as I said, after this, but they're scaring you as well that this is an airborne infectious sort of illness that spreads with coughing and as you do, and it's been released. That's pretty amazing seeing that, because some of this stuff I've shared myself over the years, it's quite good, but it's the same thing with all of these networks in so-called alternative media. That's what they do so well. They give you big slabs of the truth to lure you in, and then very, very cunningly they spread you off in all sorts of different directions with all this kind of information that they put out. So it's really funny. It is called, let me think about it, controlled opposition. I guess that's what you call it. But, these people are no different than the media. Are they? Really? Because I look at the mainstream media and they're selling fear, and I go to Natural News and they're selling fear. Which doesn't help anybody, does it? Anyway, I wanted to pull up this. There's always so much to go through, but this. This is from someone who thinks rationally, John Rappaport blog. And I guess I'll just go over this article I did post it because there's some great comments and interesting. Someone left an interesting link anyway on this. On this article here, and I thought it'd be worth bringing up because it just shows how crazy all of this. So this was about Italy. ICU wards are overflowing. That's what we're hearing on the news here. They're just collapsing over there, and all the Italians have coronavirus, and everyone's going to die there. So I'll go through this article because it's an interesting one. So some people, even if they have fallen over a cliff, would, on the way down, shout, "The virus must be dangerous. What else could it be? People are dying. It's got to be the virus, right? The virus. The virus. The virus." How about this? The ICU hospital wards in Italy are overflowing. It's the virus. Step back and think. Think it through. Watching a recent interview with an Italian public health official, I had the impression that perhaps several thousand new ICU patients were burdening the hospital system in the northern part of the country, several thousand out of a national population of 60 million. Here's the trick. Before the announcement of the coronavirus epidemic, people who showed up at the hospitals with flu-like symptoms, lung infections, pneumonia, would be placed in general wards and be treated or even sent home with drugs. But now they would, many of them, be called presumptive cases, lumping them in, you see, with the coronavirus cases. This is what we talked about on the last show, how they're just merging it all together so nobody knows anymore, creating the smoky mirrors effect. So without any tests at all, or after tests which don't work, see the prior articles here, which are all up on CRAS files as well, by labeling these patients contagious coronavirus. The hospital doctors are forced to send them to the ICU to protect others from the infection, and all these tests are very hokey and bogus to me. I don't know how they're coming up with these end results. So the press publishes pictures of the ICUs and the hysteria factor bubbles up a few degrees hotter. So the press interviews a hospital doctor and he says, "We're starting to see a few more children with the virus." The public reaction? Incredible. "Now, even healthy children are getting sick. I have breaking news." Children actually get sick, folks. They get run down immune systems and things like that, and they get unwell. It happens. Like adults, they develop flu-like symptoms. Here we go. Important flu-like symptoms. What can cause flu-like symptoms, folks? Well, lots of things, especially EMF and all this dirty electricity around us and all this modern technology can cause flu-like symptoms. You know, having a run-down immune system can cause flu-like symptoms. Lots of things can cause flu-like symptoms. That's our body's way of saying things aren't right. I'm not well. I've gone down for a moment. You need to, get your energy levels back up and give me some good stuff, and then I won't have flu-like symptoms. But when you're run down and you're tired and your immune system is run down as well, then you get flu-like symptoms. Oh, for goodness me. And as with adults, they can now be diagnosed as presumptive coronavirus cases. So this is a really interesting part of all this. These presumptive coronavirus cases. They're just lumping it all onto the same pile, but it's all, well, we don't know. But what about people dying in Italy? As in other countries, people in Italy do die. People die in all countries around the world. We're all going to die. So it's not just Italy where people die, right? they die. They always have, especially old people. So there's a lot of elderly people in Italy who die, just like here and just like in America and everywhere. So especially old people who have all sorts of long-term health problems, labeling them with coronavirus at the last minute doesn't explain the cause of death. See, the coronavirus just fits perfect now. It's like someone died in a retirement center and we're just going to label it. It was coronavirus. They died because of that. The media jump on it and bang. So healthy people in Italy are dying. 2 points here. First, sometimes there's healthy people aren't really healthy at all. And second, if you were healthy and you were suddenly diagnosed for no reason with a virus you believed was dangerous and even deadly, and then you were isolated in an ICU ward, allowed no visitors, perhaps even put on a ventilator, and then treated with highly toxic antiviral drugs, probably antibiotics or whatever they give them as well, do you think there is a chance that you could die? Well, probably. The whole aim of stage magic is, as we all know, deflection of attention. What have I been saying, folks? It's the magic trick. Divert your attention away from the magic trick itself. And then you're like, what? The audience is guided to look here while the trick is being executed over there. Here, a woman is being sawed in half. There, she is escaping from the back of the box. In the epidemic, here is where people are sick and dying and diagnosed. There is where a fictional reason is being cooked up to explain why. But, Italy, Italy, Italy. People dying, virus, I don't get it. Yes, you do. You're getting the message the public health officials want to shove into your mind. You're standing on a street corner watching a pro execute his shell game, and you're falling for it every time. So very interesting article, and you know, this is exactly what I'm going over in my head. with all of this. Anyway, there's some really interesting comments here that I was looking at, and a couple of links that I clicked on and stuff like that, which I saved and everything like that. And here's one from Cynthia. Anyway, and she's saying here that she's obviously living in Michigan in the United States, and she's saying that 2 cases were reported there in Michigan, and a state of emergency was declared. 2 days later, all the schools statewide are closed. The local store in my small town was packed with people at 9 a.m., and many shelves were empty. The libraries are all closed. Events are cancelled right and left, being cancelled right and left, and now there's rumour of a quarantine. So there you can see there you've got two, you know, supposed cases of this, coronavirus, which we now call the fear. We don't even know what's going on here, just two, and then you get all this lockdown as well. So the media take that, they blow it up on steroids, the government step in and all the heads start talking and everything happens and bang, you've got all this quarantine stuff going on. So we have, you know, politicians in Australia now getting the fear, and now we have Hollywood celebrities like Tom Hanks getting and spreading the fear. So the politicians are now doing it. Peter Dutton in Australia was on the news. He's got the fear. Let me look up that now, actually, about Mr. Peter Dutton. That was a funny one. Where is it? Hang on, folks. I had that with me. Here it is. Well, here's one. Peter Dutton, Australia minister, tests positive for the virus. No, Peter Dutton, Australia minister, tests positive for the fear. So a senior member of the Australian government, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton, has tested positive for the coronavirus. Anyway, nothing to really read here. I had another article where he said that, yes, he's tested positive and he had a little bit of a temperature or something. And he put himself into the hospital and everything because that's the protocols and he wanted to stick to those. But he said, I feel fine. That's what he said. You can look it up. And he said, I feel fine. So Mr. Peter Dutton has stepped into crisis actor mode and he's playing the game. He's playing the fear game. And he has the fear and he's spreading the fear onto the public. And this is the thing, when the public in general, or, you know, even maybe fence sitters, they see that these ministers in Australia get the fear and they get sick. Well, you know, and they see that these big sporting events, when the illusion around them starts to get cancelled, the illusion that they live in and the illusion that they rely on for their reality and for their sanity, you know, and the big games and the football and all the big sporting events, and especially, as I said, the Sydney Royal Easter Show, the entertainment system around them gets sort of cracked open like an egg, you know, and gets just shut down and put in a closet somewhere because of this virus, the fear, then in the minds of the people, that suddenly makes everything very, very real. If it wasn't, if it was only a little bit real before, then now when they see this, oh my God, this minister's got the fear and they're shutting down the Easter show in Sydney because of the fear, and they're shutting down my favorite sporting events because of the fear. I can't go to this concert tomorrow night because of the fear. Then, you know, that fear starts to take over their conscious thought, their reality around them, who everything that they see, it starts to think and see for them. It clearly positions them itself, and this is the fear I'm talking about, into the driver's seat of that person's personality, and it drives for them. And you know, these people see fear, and the fear thinks for them. And if the fear thinks for them, then they're sick, and they see sickness around them, or they see potential sickness around them. It's really a mind game beyond belief. It's a psychological warfare that's just incredible to see this display right in front of my eyes, and how people are being sucked up in it and going along for the ride. But as I said, you know, it's not them. It's the fear that's taking control of their lives. You know, it really is incredible. Anyway, going back to this article, I'll just pull it up now, a bit slow tonight. Okay, so this was a great article that a guy left on in the comments there to that last one on John Rappaport's site. I thought this was great, and maybe, who knows, they might take this stuff down. But this was in the United States, because it's fear. The fear is spreading there big time. And this was about a doctor providing a much welcome positive outlook on the coronavirus. And I'll just read through this now. And there is this is from Seattle. So this guy was on some Seattle morning breakfast TV show, and he talks about it there. So much of the news regarding coronavirus is all doom and gloom, but much progress is being made. But we don't hear about this really from our mainstream media, with the virus, with the fear. Dr. Gordon Cohen, a general surgery specialist in Tacoma, recently joined Seattle's Morning News to discuss the other side that he and his colleagues are witnessing. So here you go. This is a doctor, general surgery specialist, out of Seattle, talking about this. So one of the intensive care unit doctors that I worked with made a comment that sort of struck me. He says, where are all the patients? What we're seeing on the television and the media is creating this widespread panic and, you guessed it, folks, fear. But here we are in the hospitals and the intensive care units, we are not seeing them being filled up with patients at all, he says. Dr. Cohen provided us with a short list of things that are not terrible about this virus outbreak, about this fear outbreak, sorry. None of this is meant to suggest that you shouldn't wash your hands thoroughly and use sanitizer and disinfecting wipes. Or that you should ease up on your social distancing. That's a big one, isn't it, that's come into play. I'm wondering about this, so anyone has any ideas on this and links or anything, let me know, because I'm going to try and keep covering this. Social distancing laws. This is a strange one that's reared its head as well in all of this that I'm taking note of. We're seeing this all over the world and everywhere it's coming up and popping its head up. Social distancing, all of that should still be taken seriously, the doctor says. But he wanted to point out a few important things. It appears, here it's saying, it appears that the situation in China is improving. The strong control isolation measures imposed by the Chinese government are actually starting to pay off, he said. For several weeks now, the number of cases diagnosed every day is decreasing. It really looks like it's plateaued for the most part. So what he's saying here in this article, and this is a big mainstream American news article, folks, he's saying that it's kind of reached its peak and it's getting better now. But that's not playing out where we are in Australia. They're still in panic mode. He says here that we also have a virus that can be killed, which is not always the case, and we attacked the coronavirus rather quickly. We can actually wipe this virus clean. A lot of times we can't do that, but this virus in particular, it could be effectively inactivated from surfaces with either alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, or some good old-fashioned bleach in less than 1 minute. So already I'm looking at something that just really doesn't seem that bad at all. And in America here, and this in Seattle, and these emergency wards, they're not really seeing anything happen at all. And he's telling us now that this fake virus can be wiped away and cleaned with a bottle of old $1.50 bleach from the supermarket. In less than a minute. So if that's true, then why are we getting all the lockdowns? Why the media panic? What's being built here, folks? Because as I said before, 1 minute it's doom and gloom and we're all going to die. And if you get this, you're dead. And the next minute is it's really nothing at all and you can get rid of this with a bit of bleach. Here he's talking about some things. It's very long. I don't want to go all over it. I just wanted to mention the important things because they're bringing up SARS and all this sort of stuff and all these fake ones again. Here's a really important part of this article for me anyway, and this is I've been looking into this and I'm pulling up the same thing when they're being honest. So the disease really causes no symptoms. Let's go through this in a minute. Or if it does cause symptoms, I'm trying not to laugh here, folks. Or if it does cause symptoms, they're extremely mild in 81% of the cases. And of course, that means in 14%, it can cause some pneumonia. And in 5%, it can become critical or even fatal. It's still unclear what the death rate may be. They don't know. But I think it's likely it's going to be much lower than what the mainstream media, I guess, are pushing so far. So again, here he's saying is that in 81% of cases, there's no symptoms. And if there are symptoms, they are incredibly mild. So in 14% of people could get pneumonia or severe, problems, complications in their chest area, and 5% of people can die of this. So we'd be looking at very frail elderly people who are already sick in hospitals. And we'd be looking at 14% of the population who could smoke or have a lot of serious health problems or be on undergoing chemotherapy for illnesses and cancers and things like that they already have. People with compromised immune systems, people who are already sick in this world, in our society, walking around day to day, who are sick, who get sick easily, who always have flu-like symptoms and who just can't do, who can't live a normal life because they're always ill. Their immune systems are bad, right? So this is this sort of percentage of population. Well, they could have problems. Well, that we know that. So what does this fake virus have to do with that? They're lumping it in there, you see. But they're saying, don't worry, because for most of us, there's no symptoms. So that's the article there, folks. It's really phenomenal, isn't it? Looking at this, it really just blows my mind. Looking at some, here's another one. I got so many of these. This is from another website. Dr. Circus, if I can get this up. No, I can't. Here it is here. Sorry, folks. This is another one. The mild-mannered coronavirus. One encouraging aspect of the coronavirus outbreak so far is about 82% of the cases, including all 14 in the United States, have been very mild, with symptoms that require little or no medical intervention whatsoever. World Health Organization expert Michael Ryan said that outside of Hubei province, the virus's behavior did not seem to be very aggressive at all, or accelerate. Latest data indicates that about 18% of cases are severe, of which 3% require intensive care, and that the fatalities are mostly very old patients. So, as you said, smoke and mirrors there, folks. We don't know with these old patients what pre-existing conditions that they already have, and how, you know, they're already sick, for example. And you've got millions of elderly patients in hospitals around the world, in different countries, in different nursing homes, that only could have a few hours or a couple of days left in their lives, right? And then they're dying off here and there, popping off like popcorn, and they're lumping it in with the coronavirus cases because it suits their agenda. That's what's happening. So that's what it's saying here. And here it's saying here, those with pre-existing conditions. So they're already sick, right? So what does it have to do with their fake coronavirus? This is what it's telling you in the mainstream media. Many medical personnel, almost 2,000, are getting infected with a few deaths. And those few deaths, well, smoke and mirrors. We don't know what they are. So they're saying that this study on this virus is actually a reason for optimism. This looks no more than really a cold. I think that that's a rational way of thinking about it, said Matthew Freeman, a virologist at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. There you go. He said, really, it's just like nothing more, even less than a common cold. So why the lockdown, folks? What's going on here? He says here the world is being driven into a frenzy about this, and it's hysterical. It's unbelievable reading all of this. So that's another one that I pulled up, and it's pretty long. I can put it all up again in the show notes as well, so for people to read. So he put some good points in here as well. It's not a bad article. But he's talking about a lot of other deaths. From all over the world, that we don't know what's going on. For US adults, pneumonia is the most common cause of hospital admissions. I did not know that. It's interesting when I look, when I've put up other older articles about these kind of flu-type symptoms or respiratory illnesses, that in a lot of places in the United States, that a lot of people seem to be connecting with the chemtrails as well. They call it chem flu, this stuff that's being sprayed above our heads on a daily basis, and people are breathing in and they're getting this kind of smoker's coughs and this kind of weakness in this part of the human system. So there you go. And in America, it's a big one. Pneumonia is such a huge cause of hospital admissions over there. And about 1 million adults in the U.S. seek care in a hospital due to this condition every year, and about 50,000 die from this disease. 50,000 people die from this condition, pneumonia, in the United States. And we've got a couple of people with not even flu-like symptoms, and they're locking everything down. Why aren't they locking everything down for that? Pneumonia is only called coronavirus if the patient is tested and the virus is discovered, though tests cannot be depended on for accuracy of diagnosis. With millions coming down with pneumonia every year in China alone, it tells us that there is a gigantic pool of people with pneumonia in China who can be falsely labeled deaths from the coronavirus. So why is pneumonia so huge in China? Because of disgusting pollution. That's why. Anyone can look that up. China has absolutely terrible pollution problems. It's saturating. The contamination in those cities over there is absolutely disgusting, and they're trying to cover it up. And we talk about this a lot. People are being made sick by the environment around them. This is an environmental contamination issue. And this smog and filthy air that people are breathing in and living in these cities, it's making them sick, and it's giving them this pneumonia symptoms, you know. That's commonplace. Everybody knows that. Anyone can go and look on, just go, even go into Google if you want to and search, have a look at the pollution issues in China alone. So we're getting all these coughs and problems in our chest area and flu-like symptoms. So we can see here with this article, this is a gigantic problem in China. Always millions of people getting these symptoms every year in the respiratory tract, right? And being sick and hospitalized and dying. But now when that happens, it's coronavirus. So isn't that incredible, folks? So, you know, this before coronavirus happened, you were just going about your life, weren't you? You didn't even think about this. And now that they've put coronavirus on the center stage and anyone in the world dies, it's because of that. And now you're noticing it, and that makes it real. It's all playing with people's minds. It's really incredible. There are other categories of illness like lower lung infections and influenza symptoms that can be merged with pneumonia in a rush to diagnose people with coronavirus. Worst infections than coronavirus spreads around the world. A hushed panic is playing out in hospitals around the world as a deadly fungus is spreading. Individual institutions, national, state, and local governments have been reluctant to publicize outbreaks of this drug-resistant infection, arguing there is no point in scaring patients or prospective ones, meaning they do not want to scare patients away from going to hospitals. Officials are still scrambling to keep a lid on it as the infection spreads around the globe. An infectious disease expert, Dr. Joanna Rhodes, at an Imperial College London, said, "We are driving with this with the use of antifungicides on crops, and we have no idea where it's coming from. We've never heard of it before. It's just spread like wildfire." That's to the overprescription of antimicrobial drugs and antibiotics, I'm saying as well. Things become resistant to them, and then you get all these Frankenstein shit around, you know. Also laid the groundwork for this relatively new germ that preys on people with weakened immune systems, according to the New York Times. The infection, a fungus known as Candida, Aureus kills almost half of all patients who contract it within 90 days, according to the CDC, as it's impervious to most major antifungal medications. So first described in 2009 after a 70-year-old Japanese woman showed up at a Tokyo hospital with C. aureus in her ear canal, the aggressive yeast infection has spread across Asia and Europe, arriving in the US in 2016. What do you think about this, folks? This yeast infections, it can cause a lot of problems, can't it? Indeed, I think as well. That is interesting. 5G is an additional thing here as well. So a post, we've looked at this as well, about this 5G rollout happening and damaging people's immune systems and, giving them cold symptoms as well. So we've gone over all of that, this new 5G technology. And I've said on other shows as well, the towers are going in, man. And this is what I just said before, we're watching the play on the stage and behind the curtains, you can see all this knocking around. That's where everything's being built, but it's covered over. So everyone's worrying and so concerned. They're standing in car parks today, folks. Every time you go out, they're on their phones and they're talking. I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. Yeah, I know. It's just terrible. I can hear them on their phones. It's just terrible. I know. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. They're having discussions about it in meetings. They're talking about the fear and how it's going to get them and how worried they are. But they're not looking at the fucking 5G towers going up right over their stupid skulls. It's unbelievable. They won't look at that, you see, because that's all good. That's going to give them access to, entertainment faster. But it's a big problem, isn't it? Incredible thing, all of this, it just goes on and on and on. What else could I cover here? I saved a whole bunch of these mainstream articles and even stuff from the CDC and WHO saying that really you don't even need to worry about coronavirus. I'm not kidding, folks. Look it up. All these WHO experts are saying, look, 86% of people, they won't even know they have anything. I'm going to just slip up behind you when you're walking on the street, and I'm going to take your wallet and you won't even know I've taken it. You can see how they just screw with people here. And I'm not kidding. You can look it up. It's everywhere. They're telling you, and they've got all these jittery, strange looking so-called experts on the morning breakfast shows and TV slots on Australian television. You got the head wobbling TV presenter sitting up there, and they got the nice set and they got the head movements going. And they all have that tone in their voice. I don't know how they all go to school and they learn the same tone in their voices. Can anyone explain that to me? And they've got the roly-poly hands going and this side and that side, and they cross to this guy and he's got the same voice, and they're talking to a guy about it, and then he crosses to a woman and she's got the same voice. It's absolutely amazing. And they're crossing to all these people trying to make it all serious, and then they'll bring on one of these jittery kind of experts and he's just, he doesn't really know anything, and wash your hands, he says. It's like a bad comedy of errors. It's an unbelievable thing to watch. And so they're all saying that we wash your hands and we don't really know. And young people are okay. It's only really some old people who have, already existing illnesses or health issues or problems or whatever it may be that need to worry about this here. And but everyone else, if you do get it, it won't be any worse than just a common flu that you get every year. Don't worry about it. But if you do get it, worry about it. Don't worry about it, because if you had the flu before, it's just going to be like that. You won't even know you've got it, but worry about it. Be scared, but don't worry about it. But if you do get it, don't worry about it, but make sure you quarantine yourself and stay inside and let everyone know that you're quarantined so we can scare everybody. But don't worry about it. You don't have anything. It's okay. Just go back to sleep. It's fine. But worry. I'm just telling you to worry. This is what we're getting. It's absolutely phenomenal. You know, maybe they just rely so much on the public being so stupid and dumbed down that they can just get away with this, I guess. And from what I'm seeing, people buying toilet paper and fighting each other, they are getting away with it. They are getting away with it, folks, because this proves it. God damn it. Anyway, I've got a couple more here to go over. Anyway, what was another one I pulled up that was important? This one, well, this one was funny anyway. This was from the Washington Post. I have the coronavirus, but so far it hasn't really been that bad for me. This is another article I pulled up. I have the coronavirus and it hasn't been that bad for me. I am in my late 60s and the sickest I've ever been was when I once had bronchitis several years ago, and that laid me out for a few days. No body aches, no chills, no aches, nothing really wrong here. Bit of a stuffy nose, but, you know, really I didn't have anything, but I had the coronavirus and it wasn't that bad. That was just a silly article I pulled up. Yes, it's amazing. And you're getting these all over the internet, and then you turn on the Australian news in the morning and it's doom and gloom, man. You're going to die. You're dead. Here's one I pulled up from Time Magazine, if I can get it. Time Magazine, some patients with Wuhan coronavirus only show very mild symptoms. Again, another article, so I pulled them up. But then they're telling you here, but that's a concern for worry because they have mild symptoms. And I'm just like, what the hell are these people? And they're talking about this seafood market again. What a load of crap. You know, and all of this. So they're telling you in all these articles, you know, there's no symptoms at all. But if there are symptoms and you're relatively healthy, well, you might get a little bit of a fever, a bit of a cough, and just go to bed and you'll be okay. But worry, because it's bad. This is what we keep getting. It's phenomenal, isn't it? It's unbelievable. And the last one here, if I can get it up, folks. Well, there's so many. The Last American Vagabond put this up. I've kind of gone through a little bit before, but this is worth covering. Coronavirus, so the cures will be worse than the disease. And that's true. What's being built around this, underneath this, on the side of this, up top of this, all around this, what's being built for us? What kind of world are we going to see and be living in after this all dissipates? Especially in regards to health. And as I keep saying, we can connect this with the Australian bushfires, because that was this shock and fear tactic display where they attacked Australia, they burnt us out, and now they're going to be able to bring in their Agenda 2030 global warming plans. And their smart cities and their technology and everything like that. They're going to be able to tax us and redistribute that wealth and scare the hell out of everybody that we're destroying the planet. And if we dig deeper and don't have showers and we don't have baths, hey, you know, don't have a shower with you and your family and your kids. Go under a fill a bucket out in the yard and go under that. Pour it over your heads, and that's enough, because you're wasting water and you're destroying the planet. But here's the trick. We're going to bring in Agenda 2030, global warming, new draconian rules and regulations and legislations through your local councils and governments. And when you pay us more money to live and we take that money, we're going to fix the global warming. We're going to fix the sun, and we're going to make it not shine so hard. Isn't this an unbelievable con, folks? And I actually know people. I've been in contact with old friends recently who buy all of this, and I just can't believe it. And I think to myself, hey, you know, if I grew up with people and I was friends with them when I was a kid, we're just not the same people now. I actually know people that I haven't seen for a long time, and they're trying to spew all this ridiculous global warming crap at me, and it's just like, that your kids are a threat to our kids in the community if they're not vaccinated. And I say to them, okay, so unvaccinated kids are a threat to your fully immunized kids. Yes, How is that possible if vaccines work? You're a conspiracy theorist. Put your tinfoil hat on. So it's all this sort of stuff. They just read the mainstream Rupert Murdoch newspapers, and they watch the news every night, and they recycle it like some stupid parrot. That's what they do. And I don't need to be friends with these people anymore. I got enough friends. I got better friends talking to you guys, doing this. Believe me. I'm sorry. You know, if I went to school with people, or I was friends with people a long time ago, and I haven't seen them, and I talk to them, and they start spewing this stuff, I'm just not interested. I don't have the time now. It's too late for this. And I just can't believe people think that the government are going to fix global warming by giving them more money and restricting our lives more. I mean, how can you buy that? It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's insane. Anyway, so this article's pretty good. It goes on about spreading, mutating the virus. It's going viral. The coronavirus. It's a bioweapon. It's gonna hurt you. It's not hurt you. It's less deadly than the normal flu. It's worse than the Spanish flu. It's from flying bats and Chinese eating bats. The numbers are being underreported. The numbers are being inflated. We don't know how many. There's too many. A lot of people are dying. Nobody's dying. All of this stuff. It was unleashed onto the public by accident from some laboratory, and some nincompoop dropped a Bunsen burner on the ground. It smashed and infected someone, and they went and got a bus and they infected them. It was unleashed on purpose. It doesn't exist. It's all fake. So very interesting. So there's many theories about the COVID-19 that everybody's talking about, but there's something that we do know for sure, regardless of where this virus came from, or whether it's real or whether it's not. The hype and the fear and the panic and the pandemonium surrounding this supposed outbreak is going to be far worse than the disease could ever be, because, as I've been screaming about for over a decade now, a bioweapon attack, real or man-made, false flag or otherwise, is the perfect cover for a slew of agenda items on this checklist that are coming in. And the more the population panics, the more they play into the hands of the people running the puppet show. So here's just some things that we could be seeing. Unprecedented surveillance and control of the population. So, we see in China is in many ways the model of this technocratic brave new world of the 21st century. Social credit scores, facial recognition, CCTV networks, government-controlled internet are just some of these things that we see in that country. Big control of the internet and the information that we're allowed to receive and share, folks, as we know. So the first thing to note is the sheer scale of what the Chinese government is attempting here. The quarantine imposed in Wuhan, encompassing a city of 11 million people, was already the largest quarantine in human history. But when that quarantine expanded to include the entire province of Hubei, a population of 57 million people, the scope of the lockdown became nearly unimaginable. How can such a quarantine possibly be maintained? Well, as we've all seen, it can be done by good old-fashioned brute force. When in doubt, just weld the sick person's door shut, weld it shut so they can't leave their home. What about all these protesters in China as well? As we've been talking about, maybe this Chinese regime is losing their grip on power, right? And there's a lot of Chinese students and a lot of people over there who want change. Maybe this was a good, situation under the disguise or the umbrella of the virus to just get rid of them all so they're never seen again. But to really manage millions of people, you need technological help. And so the Chinese government has been deploying every tool in its arsenal to monitor and maintain restrictions on citizens and their movements, flying drones to harass anyone walking around without a mask. And you can check all the links here. A nationwide video surveillance system system called, you can't make this up, Skynet, to help spot quarantine evaders. Okay, so this is like pedophiles or people out on day from prison when they put the devices on their ankles. Incredible, isn't it? A color-coded rating on a smartphone payment app to identify people as low or high risk for carrying the virus based on their payment and travel history. And just in payments as well, there's a lot of businesses in Australia at the moment who are refusing cash payments. You have to pay with credit card or your debit cards. They're not accepting cash because they're thinking that this fake virus can be transmitted via the cash. So, you know, this is the government are saying this as well, to use less cash. In Australia, there's already these restrictions, I think, on having any more, spending any more at one time, any more than $10,000 cash. So we're coming into this digital cashless society as well, and a great way to bring that in. When it's all over, do you think the government will simply shelve these technologies and systems? This is what I was asking myself today. When the coronavirus is all done and dusted, will all these measures that they've been implementing just be taken away and out of the game? Or do you think that once the level of control becomes normalized, that the authoritarians in the Chinese Communist Party will continue using it? Will that happen here, folks? All these new things that they're bringing in, will they take it away, or will they continue along those lines? And here's the even better question. Do you think there's a government anywhere around the world that wouldn't use this technology on its own population if given a convenient excuse, like, say, a freak out over a novel coronavirus? So there you go. There's a bit more in there. Anyway, to go over. So a blank check for Big Pharma and the WHO, the WHO. So when a detective is looking to solve a crime, it's important to ask cui bono, although it may be circumstantial. Establishing who benefits from a crime at least points you to some suspects. In this case, though, the question of who benefits has a simple answer, WHO. Benefits, of course. Maybe that's why old Bill Gates is retiring. He's just made so much money out of this. It's like, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, I'm going to retire, folks. I've made too much money. World Health Organization, that is, the United Nations body tasked with directing international health and leading the response to global health concerns, the WHO, always grows in power in the wake of every single crisis. So during the swine flu non-crisis and the Ebola non-crisis and the Zika non-crisis, all made up, the WHO was led by Director General Margaret Chan. It was under Chan's watch, remember, that the WHO declared the 2009 swine flu outbreak a global pandemic, a move that automatically triggered billions of dollars of vaccine purchases by various governments. This was a blatant cash grab, of course, and even the Council of Europe was compelled to note that the members of the WHO Council that made the pandemic declaration were also sitting on the boards of the vaccine manufacturers who stood to benefit from that decision. No, tell me that isn't true, folks. Tell me that's not true. I'm shocked. I'm horrified. With the COVID-19 outbreak too, WHO is playing a game with the pandemic declaration, only this time its motivation is precisely the opposite. In 2017, the World Bank issued a $425 billion bond. Whoa. In support of its pandemic emergency financing facility, investors in that bond issue will lose everything if a global pandemic is declared before July. A key reason some suggest why the WHO is refusing to call coronavirus a pandemic, well, they did now, despite it quite clearly meeting the criteria. So who is heading the WHO this time around? Well, it's not Margaret Chan anymore. She stepped down in 2017, what a shame, and was replaced by Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, I don't know who that is. Anyway, an Ethiopian politician, of course, and academic, who, William Engadal notes, is the first WHO director general who isn't even a medical doctor. That's the same as the health ministers like Jill Hennessy in Australia, isn't it? We have health ministers in Australia that dictate vaccination policies for our children. They have no background in health whatsoever. These people look disgustingly sick and fat and unwell, but they're health ministers. Instead, after earning his degree in biology at the University of Asmara in Eritrea and serving as a junior position at the Ministry of Health under the Marxist dictatorship of Mengistu, he then went on to become Minister of Health, of course, from 2005 to 12 under Prime Minister Meles Zenawi. There, he met former President Bill Clinton, the pedophile and child molester, and began a close collaboration with Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and its Clinton HIV/AIDS initiative. CHAI, of course. He also developed a close relation with Bill and Melinda Gates. No. Oh, I'm shocked. As health minister, Tedros would also chair the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis and Malaria that was co-founded by the Gates Foundation. The Global Fund has been riddled with fraud and corruption scandals. No, you mean that these guys are floating around with models getting blowjobs on yachts in the Mediterranean? Don't tell me that's so, folks. Oh, you mean the Gates Foundation and their GAVI Alliance for Vaccination that are the WHO's biggest donors? The Gates Foundation that helped host the Event 201 high-level pandemic exercise in New York last October, that war-gamed out the entire coronavirus scenario. We heard about this and I posted about this. We're currently living through. It was like this pre-planned drill, right? And how are WHO going to save the day with big pharma drugs? Of course, naturally, governments are already lining up. They're already lining up to pledge tens of millions of dollars to fund the effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine. Israel are at the head of this. And Australia are going to be buying all these up as well. So lots of money to spend there. And that's just the funding to develop the vaccine. There are many more billions of dollars waiting for the big pharmaceutical manufacturers who can deliver the first vaccine to the market. That's going to be the big payload. So yes, coronavirus is going to be a big payday for some very rich people and well-connected people in the international medical mafia. But don't worry, the politicians are going to get a little bit of that fun too. An excuse to implement medical martial law. Well, they love that in Australia, don't they? So, you know, do we really need to cover that? I love that. They've been, you know, around the world and including in the United States, they've been quietly passing legislation that would enable them to implement martial law whenever they want to. And of course, in the event of a global pandemic, this has already been set up through quarantine laws in Australia. This would allow them, of course, as I just said, to quarantine and incarcerate citizens suspected of infection, or just if they don't like you, they're going to lock you up and take you away and jab you. And it would allow government to administer whatever medications, including vaccinations, of course, if deemed necessary. And it will be if you're a threat and you could possibly spread the infection. Well, they're going to take you and do that to you and you won't have any rights. So in the United States, this legislation took the form of the Model State Emergency Health Power Act, a piece of legislation that was drafted by the Center for Disease Control. The CDC? No, tell me it ain't so. The act grants government the power to quarantine, force vaccinate, and mobilize the military to help implement emergency procedures and protocols as deemed necessary to contain the outbreak. That's the same in Australia as well, folks. It is designed to be afforded in each state legislature so that the states could harmonize their emergency pandemic plans, essentially creating a federal system enabling medical martial law. The act lets a governor declare a state of emergency and without Judicial oversight fails to provide modern due processes, procedures for quarantines and other emergency powers. It lacks adequate compensation for seizure of assets and contains no checks on the power to order forced treatment and vaccination. Regardless of the last count, the Act has been the basis for 133 pieces of legislation in 33 different states, and sure enough, the citizens of the developed Western world who thought that martial law was only for banana republics and exotic eastern countries are about to get a taste of this bitter medicine on the back of the coronavirus hype. So Australia, as we know, just activated its emergency pandemic plans despite not having, any cases. But we do now, of course. This article's going back. They have done that in this country. So the plan grants the government in Australia the power to cancel public events. They've just done that. Force people to work from home. They're doing that. Close childcare centres. They're doing it. And otherwise impose mandates and restrictions on daily lives and citizens as they see fit. So we're seeing all that now. That's happening now. So that's the first phase. There's different phases. That we could go through here, and we're seeing it all over the world. So also we have an excuse to crack down on the internet. So in the new world next year, 2020, that's now. So in 2020, the annual year and end new world next week wrap-up episode, they are predicting here that 2020 was going to be the end of the internet as we know it. At the time, they were formulating this prediction the 2020 election circus and the inevitable wave of censorship. And haven't we seen censorship leading up to this, folks? If you look just say in the last year, back at 2019, the massive amount of censorship that we witnessed as well was really incredible, wasn't it? All leading up to this. So it's quite possible that the coronavirus will be the convenient excuse for governments to flex their internet censorship muscles. So that talks about this as well, and what I've talked about as well, like the Google as well, just fact-checking everything. So you're looking up stuff for Google now, and it's just it's censoring everything and fact-checking you and telling you to go here, not there. So this is massive online censorship happen, and we could see more of this as well. We could see a lot of information deemed a threat to the public wiped from the internet. Economic crisis. So, this is something that we're seeing right now, isn't it? We're seeing the markets getting worse and worse, and there's so much instability here as well. And jobs and people worried about their jobs and all this spread of this fear as it gets worse. So we don't know what's going to happen there with economies and where we're going to go there. But that's an interesting one as well. So in the conclusion, the coronavirus, the fear is the panic is a giant boost for the agenda of our puppet masters, folks. It really is. It allows so much more power and control over the populations. And we do have large sections of human populations waking up and acting out against their governments and the system around them. We have a lot of big protests around the world. We have just a lot of peoples at an individual level waking up and starting to ask questions. And this is an incredible thing, and it's happening. It really is. But this is a desperate lash out to maintain order and control and put things back into their place. And something like a fake staged outbreak like this will do that. Absolutely 100%. I really do believe that. So we have to keep watching it and looking at it and moving forward and breaking it down and be aware and awake. And also, I think it's important not to be paranoid about your health, but look after your health, keep your immune system up, and so you're able to fight and you're able to take charge and take care of yourself and your family and your loved ones. And you can get in that driver's seat and you can make the decisions and be confident. Don't be paranoid about your health. Just keep your immune system healthy and work it out. It's a very important thing to do. But I'll plug out now. She'll be back soon for more podcasts. Take care. Great to speak with the members. Bye for now.